Hello, and welcome to the Gospel Bell in the Dells, a weekly podcast sharing the good news of Jesus Christ in every age and place. My name is Pastor Joseph Dogan, pastor of Bethany Lutheran Church in Wisconsin Dells. Come and hear the good news that is indeed for you. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter. And he said to them, "Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see that the kingdom of God has come with power." 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up the high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept the matter to themselves, questioning what this rising from the dead could mean. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. I gotta tell you, my favorite part of Transfiguration Sunday has to be where Jesus the Gray goes up the mountain to face the Balrog and comes down the mountain victorious as Jesus the White. For those of you not aware, which is quite a few of you, sensing from the lack of laughter, that was a Lord of the Rings joke in comparing Gandalf's change from Gandalf the Gray and his fall and resurrection in becoming Gandalf the White. And I could probably spend the whole time here talking about the analysis of Christian iconography in the Lord of the Rings, but that's not what you, me, or anybody else is here for today. That's for a different time and place. And plus, I'm sure a few of you are wanting to rush out of here and get ready for your Super Bowl plans. So instead of talking about a risen Gandalf, we join again today to talk about a risen Jesus Christ, as we do every Sunday. And this is something that's important to remember as we head into the season of Lent this next week. We recognize the 40 days of Lent in tandem with the journey of the Israelite people wandering in the wilderness for 40 years after their exodus from Egypt, and Jesus' time of 40 days in the wilderness resisting the temptations of the devil. But if you look at a calendar during this time, you'll find that Lent lasts a little bit longer than just 40 days. And that is because we don't enter into Sunday with the same Lenten mentality that we are invited to the rest of the week. Because we continue to celebrate the risen Lord every Sunday, effectively turning each Sunday into a little Easter, but an Easter Sunday nonetheless, that is building towards our chief celebration at the end of Lent. That begs us to ask the same question that the disciples were asking in the added verse 10 of our gospel today. What the heck do you mean rising from the dead, Jesus? This amazing mountaintop experience happens, and Peter, James, and John are said to have been witness to this change that is happening. Peter recognizes the greatness of what just transpired, and maybe all of them do, but Peter is the one that gives language to it. Yet they are told that they are not to talk about any of this until the Son of Man rises from the dead. But how would one even begin to talk about what they just witnessed? That continues to baffle me. They were on top of the mountain. There were clouds, a booming voice. Jesus is transfigured. There's these people that they have never seen, but they know who they are. But this statement alone tells the disciples several things. First, it tells them that Jesus indeed is going to die, and they will all be witness to it. It also tells them that Jesus will indeed rise from the dead. Now, they have no idea what this means, nor could they possibly understand at the time the full magnitude that such an event and how it would change everything forever. But it also tells them that not only will they be witness to Jesus' death in their time, but they will also witness the resurrection of Christ in this same lifetime. And this is what is important, because sometimes as a church we get so stuck on the return of Christ as some far off distant thing that happens only in the future, and how it will ring in these end times. And when we get stuck in this place, we risk ignoring the fact that Jesus has already risen in our lifetime as well. And we, as Jesus, are told that we too are being raised from the dead into life in the promise of baptism. This isn't just a promise for some great far-off future, but it is also for here and now. Now, there's a group of local ELCA clergy that gather for text study every Tuesday over Zoom. When looking at this text on Tuesday, Pastor Peter Heide left us with this word of wisdom, saying, "No, there's a lot more resurrection going on in the world if we pay attention to it. This resurrection that has been promised to those who have gone before us and to those who are being healed and brought back into the fold, the blessed of God in their baptisms, is for all of us, for those who will experience death and those who are still living. This resurrection is what connects us to the past, the present, and the future for all time. On this mountain, we find Jesus speaking with Elijah and Moses. Now, the last time we saw Moses was back in Deuteronomy, when it is said that he was buried in Moab. And the last time in Scripture we had Elijah was when he was being taken up in a whirlwind in 2 Kings. And yet, they appear here, talking with Jesus. I've never noticed this before until somebody pointed it out earlier this week. But when the prophets are pulling us back, when we get the Old Testament and the prophets, they tend to be pulling us back to a first established relationship with God. When the prophets speak and teach, it's in a way to pull us into this. And the same person pointed out that instead of constantly trying to pull us back into the same relationship, that the gospel is instead trying to push us forward into a new relationship with God. I think there is a lot to be said about this, and it's giving me more to think about this week than I really have time for. But I don't think that in this pushing us towards a new relationship with God, it means that we are to ignore the original established relationship or to forsake the teachings of those who have come before us. See, in this reappearance of Elijah and Moses with Jesus, there is more than just a passing from old to new, or a change from Old Testament to New Testament, or Old Covenant to New Covenant. But what I see is a continuation of this relationship with God. This relationship, it might change. It might change the way it looks, and it might change how we interact with God, but that doesn't change the fact that this relationship continues. And we can see that continuation in all of the saints who have gone before us, in Moses, in Elijah, in our relatives, and in our loved ones. We may not worship in the same way or practice faith in the exact same way as our parents, or grandparents or great-grandparents. But we are still here, and God is still for us in a very real way. Jesus doesn't ignore the teachings of those who have gone before us, nor does he just stay on the mountain when Peter offers to make a dwelling for him. Jesus shows us that life can be brought to those who are still living and recognizes that there is death even as we live. Just as Christ went to those in the margins, those who have been written off because of their illnesses or differing abilities, he brings them life and continues to do so today. Just as he always has given life to the socially dead, he does so for us as well. The idea of resurrection is for you today. In baptism, we are told that we are daily dying and rising. We are daily dying in the sense that when we sin, we are attempting to pull ourselves away from this relationship with God. Sin is separation from God, and to be separated from God is to know death. But it is in our baptisms that we are told that our sin does not define us, that this separation that we work so hard for cannot be achieved. We are being pulled from death into life. This happens just as often as we sin. We are resurrection people. We are people that have been given this great gift of life every single day. So remember your baptisms, dear ones. For it is in this that you are rising once again and will continue to rise with Christ today, tomorrow, and when you return to the dust, as we will be reminded of this Wednesday. When we recognize, what we recognize in the receiving of these ashes later this week is that while we die, we have been marked with the cross of Christ. And in our returning to the dust, we are returning to a God that has claimed us. We are reminded of our mortality in a way that says that this life is not the end, and that we will be risen again to a life where death has no hold over us. What this rising from death into life means is that you have been pulled into an intimate relationship with God here and now and for all time. It means that in moments of forgiveness, you rise again. In moments of your own weakness, God goes with you and you rise again. In moments when you fail to have forgiveness or just can't forgive that which has harmed you so greatly, you rise again. And when we die, we do indeed rise again. We rise from death into life, just as Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, did before us. Amen. Thank you again for listening to our weekly podcast, The Gospel Bell in the Dells. To find out more about this ministry or learn ways to support us, please go and follow us on Facebook at Bethany Lutheran Church or at our website at dellsbethanylutheran.org.